You've crushed it. You've built real wealth. But let us ask you something. If you stepped away today, how long will it last?
For many successful families, the uncomfortable truth is this. What they have built works because they're still in the center of it. Right now, your wealth may be strong, but is it complete?
At the Kitty Sisters, we see wealth as a system built across 5 layers. When each one layer is missing, wealth doesn't fail immediately. It fractures quietly. You don't feel it day to day until scale, complexity, or time exposes it.
That's exactly why we created the Where Wealth Breaks assessment. It maps your current wealth against the 5-layer legacy cake, revealing the gap between where your wealth stands today and what it needs to endure beyond you.
Ready to find out where your wealth breaks? Take the assessment now at wherewealthbreaks.com.
Imagine knowing clearly and objectively which layers are solid, which relies too heavily on you, and which haven't been built yet. Because building wealth and keeping it require different systems.
This isn't about chasing returns. It's about strengthening the system, holding them together. You've made it. Now the question is whether your wealth is layered, governed, and structured to last.
Ready to find out where your wealth breaks? Take the assessments toward building multi-generational freedom at wherewealthbreaks.com. That is wherewealthbreaks.com.
The international order is crumbling into disarray. That's not a pundit. That's not a headline writer. That's the president of the second largest economy on earth saying that out loud. And then the data started confirming it. Yahoo Finance ran this headline. All of the biggest trade deals in 2026 don't involve the United States. Spain just signed 19 trade deals with China. Canada is cutting deals with Beijing. That's not theory. That's capital flow you can track. Now, most people hear that and think that's a geopolitical story. It's not. It's a capital allocation story. And if you manage significant wealth for your family, for your future, for generations you'll never meet, what I'm about to walk you through changes how you think about where your money sits.
Hey, we're Palmy and Nancy Kitty, the Kitty Sisters, and we're here to help you turn earned income into own income and build what actually lasts.
From a $2,000 bank accounts to nearly $500 million in real estate assets, earning our way into rooms we once never thought we belong in. Along the way, we learn success isn't just about making it, it's about making it last.
Here we share money, real estate, and investing strategies, but more importantly, we talk about the systems and decisions that create legacy, certainty, and continuity.
If you value speed, convenience, and execution certainty, and if you're building not just for yourself but for the generations after you, you're in the right place.
This is the first of the family podcast. My name is Palmy Kitty, the other half of the Kitty Sisters. My sister Nancy and I have scaled to nearly $500 million in assets under management, returned over $45 plus million to our investors, and have helped family preserve over $100 plus million in taxes. And I spent the last several months studying something that almost no one in the real estate space is talking about, honestly. What happens to family wealth when the world's confidence in the US dollar starts to shift? Not crash, not collapse, shift. Because the shift is already happening. And in this video, I'm going to show you three things. First, why the company that global capital has been following for 80 years is now pointing somewhere new. Second, why one specific asset class is uniquely designed to protect purchasing power in this environment. And third, the decision that separates families who preserve wealth across generations from families who watch it quietly evaporate. Here's something most people don't know. Earth's magnetic pole, the thing that every compass on the planet points to, is not fixed. It drifts. Sometimes slowly, sometimes in sudden acceleration that scientists call geomagnetic jerks. For centuries, navigators trusted their compasses because the drift was slow enough to ignore. But in recent decades, the pole has accelerated, moving 34 miles per year. Every navigation system, every airport, runway designation, every flight path has had to be recalibrated. The Earth didn't send a memo. The instruments just started pointing somewhere else. The United States dollar has been the magnetic north of the global capital for 80 years. Every portfolio, every reserve allocation, every trade settlement has been calibrated to that assumption. But the drift has been accelerated. In the year 2000, 70% of global reserves were held in US dollars. By 2010, 62%. By 2020, 59%. And as of mid-2025, 56% and falling. That's not a cliff. That's not a crisis. That's a compass needle moving a few degrees every year, and most portfolios haven't recalibrated. And then came the geomagnetic jerk. In 2022, the United States froze Russia's central bank reserves over $300 billion overnight. Now, you can debate the politics of that decision all day, but here's what's not debatable.
debatable. Every sovereign wealth fund, every central bank, and every ultra high net worth family office on earth watched that happen and asked the same question. If they can freeze a nation's reserve overnight, what's actually safe? The answer is showing up in behavior, not headlines. Central banks bought more physical gold last year than at any point in modern history. China is buying 90% of Iran's oil and paying in yuan, not dollars. Spain signed 19 trade deals with Beijing. India is buying Russia's crude in Chinese currency. This is not one country making a political statement. This is dozens of countries making a portfolio decision. Meanwhile, the United States is sitting on $39 trillion in national debt and paying $88 billion every single month just in interest. Not paying down the debt, not investing in infrastructure, so servicing what we already owe. That monthly interest bill is roughly equal to what we spend on defense and education combined. I want to be clear about something. I'm not telling you the dollar is going to zero. It's not. I'm not telling you to panic. The people who panic make the worst capital decisions. I'm telling you something more precise. The compass is pointing somewhere new. Most portfolios are still calibrated to the old north, and the families who recalibrate first will preserve the most. So the question isn't, will the dollar weaken? The question is, if confidence continues to erode, where do you want your family's capital sitting when it accelerates? And here's where it gets interesting, because not all hard assets are created equal. And the difference between the ones that just sits there and the ones that actually work for your family, that difference is everything. There's only one geological structure on Earth that is simultaneously structural and alive, coral reef. It's made up of calcium carbonate, the same mineral as limestone, one of the most common substances on the planet. Nothing special about the material itself, but the reef is not just rock. It grows. It houses entire ecosystems. It absorbs waves energy that would destroy the coastline behind it. And it does all of this while regenerating itself, constantly adapting to water temperature, consistently building on its own foundation. The reef's power isn't its material. It's the fact that the material is alive. When people hear hard assets in a de-dollarizing environment, they immediately think gold. And I understand why. Gold has been the instinctive response to currency fear for 5,000 years. But gold has a problem. Gold sits in a vault and looks back at you. It doesn't produce anything. It doesn't generate income. It doesn't adapt to inflation. It doesn't compound. It just sits there. And you hope it's worth more later than it is today. That is preservation, but it is not growth and is not income. Now compare that to multifamily real estate. Multifamily is the coral reef of hard assets. It's structurally durable. You can see it. You can touch it. In short, collateralize it, and it's alive. Rents adjust with inflation. Tenants regenerate through natural lease turnover. The asset builds on its own foundation through income that compounds year after year after year. Let me make this concrete for the capital allocator who's watching. The United States has a structural housing shortage of approximately 600,000 apartment units right now. The National Multifamily Housing Council says we need to build 4.3 million new apartments by 2035 just to meet baseline demand. And meanwhile, new construction starts have fallen 70% from their peak. That's not a market cycle, that's a supply wall. And the supply wall doesn't care about Fed policies, election results, or trade wars. They care about math, and the math says demand is going to outstrip supply for the rest of the decade. Now layer the de-dollarization thesis on top of that. In a world where currency confidence is weakening, income-producing hard assets with inflation pass-through becomes the most attractive place to store capital. Not because of yield, although the yield matters, but because the asset adapts. Rents rise with inflation, the underlying collateral holds real value regardless of what the dollar does, and the income stream gives you optionality that gold, bonds, and cash simply cannot. And here's the part that most high net worth investors miss entirely. In a de-dollarizing environment, debt becomes a strategic weapon. You're borrowing in dollars that are losing purchasing power and acquiring assets that are gaining real value. Your mortgage gets cheaper in inflation-adjusted terms every year while your rents adjust upwards. The math favors the borrowers when currency confidence erodes, the exact opposite of what happens if your money sits in cash, bonds, or treasuries. Here's what I want to know from you right now. What percentage of your family's wealth is sitting in dollar-denominated paper assets, stocks, bonds, savings, treasuries? Add it up in your head. Be honest, drop your number in the comment. But here's the thing, even if you understand the macro, even if you believe in the asset class, even if you run the numbers and the math checks out, there's a deeper question most families never ask. And it's the one that actually determines whether your wealth survives you. The oldest living organism on Earth are not in a rainforest. They're not in the ocean. They're not in some protected preserve behind locked gates. They're in the White Mountains of California. standing in the open, exposed to everything. Bristol cone pines, some over 4,800 years old. They don't survive by growing faster. They don't survive by growing taller. They survive by growing denser. Their wood is so tight that decay literally cannot penetrate it. They grow in the harshest soil at the highest altitudes in conditions that kill every other species around them. And here's the part that should change how you think about wells forever. They survive precisely because of the harshness, not despite it, because of it. The slow growth is what produces the density, and the density is what makes them indestructible. Take the same tree, plant it in rich soil with plenty of water. It grows faster, it grows taller, and it dies in a century. The ultra high net worth families that preserve wealth across generations, across currency regimes, across wars, across the kind of shifts we're talking about today, they don't do it by chasing the highest returns. They don't do it by finding the fastest growing opportunity. They do it by building density, tight structure, deeply rooted in asset that can't be inflated away, growing slowly but deliberately in conditions that destroys less disciplined capital. Fast growth gets attention. Dense growth gets to the other side. This is why the question for family managing significant wealth right now isn't what has the best yield this quarter. It's not what's the hottest market. And it's not where can I get the fastest return. The question is, what will still be standing and still productive when your grandchildren inherit it? Because here's what nobody wants to say out loud. The research is brutal on this. The average high net worth family loses wealth by the third generation, not because of bad luck, not because of a bad market, not because of a catastrophic decision, because of bad architecture. No governance structure, no income producing foundation beneath the portfolio, no assets dense enough to survive the transition from one generation to the next. It's not a wealth problem, it's a design problem. Multifamily in supply constrained markets, well located, professionally managed, income producing, structurally scarce, is the Bristol cone pine of real estate. It doesn't grow the fastest, but it grows the densest. The income regenerates. The demand is structural, not cyclical. The scarcity deepens with time as building gets harder, not easier. And when the currency regime shifts, when the next generation takes the wheel, when the conditions get harsh, and they will get harsh, dense will survive. I want to be honest with you for a second. I didn't grow up with a family office. I didn't inherit wealth architecture or a trust fund or a blueprint for how to protect money across generations. My sister Nancy and I built this from the ground up, and we built it because we understood something early. Income is not wealth. A paycheck is not security. And a saving account denominated in a currency that loses purchasing power every single year is not a plan. The families we work with, the ones who manages $5, $10, $50 million, they come to us not because they can't earn. They've already figured out the earning part. They come because they're lying awake at 2 a.m. asking a question they can't answer alone. How do I make this last longer than I do? And that's not a financial question. That's a legacy question. That's an architecture question. And the answer has never been hold more cash. Here's where we land. The compass is moving. Global confidence in the dollar as the world's permanent reserve currency is eroding, not crashing. Not collapsing, but drifting. And like the magnetic north, the drift is accelerating. The hard assets that just sits there, they preserve something. But the hard assets that are alive, they produce income, they adapt to inflation, and they regenerate through demand. Those are the ones that protect purchasing power and build it at the same time. And the families who build dense, who root their wealth in scarce income-producing structurally durable assets, those are the families that make it to the other side. Not because they predicted the future, because they build something that doesn't need to. If you're watching this and you're thinking, okay, I feel you, but where do I actually get started? We build something for exactly this moment. It's called the Where Wealth Breaks Assessment. It's free. It takes less than 3 minutes, and it will show you exactly where the gaps are in your current wealth architecture, the places where a currency shift, a tax policy change, or a generational transfer would expose you. Link is in the description. Take it today. And if you want to go deeper, get your scale-owned income roadmap. That's a full architecture we use with families to build exactly the kind of dense income-producing foundation we talked about in this video. Because the compass doesn't wait for you to be ready. It just moves. Thanks for listening to the First of the Valley podcast. We hope today's conversation left you feeling inspired and maybe even equipped with one idea you can take with you as you turn earned income into own income and build something that actually lasts. If today's conversation resonates, here's how you can support the show and help it reach more families, investors, and entrepreneurs who are creating a lasting legacy. Hit follow and share this episode with someone who's thinking beyond themselves and into generations after them.
And if you're feeling generous, leave a review. Means more than you know. Those few words help the right listeners find these conversations right when they need it most. By doing this, you're helping families build legacy, certainty, and continuity.
For show notes, links, and resources from today's episode, head to thekittysisters.com.